Okay, let's go ahead and get our Bibles open up to Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. What if it were today? Would you be ready for that, him coming back? I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the day he comes back. I know I'm ready. I know I'm only going to be going to heaven. I also want to do what he wants me to do while I'm here. I don't want him to come back and see me doing something I'm supposed to be doing. So kind of odd we say that, right? But he sees what we're doing all the time anyway, right? So that should be our life goal, and that's the idea. What if it were today to be expecting him coming and things like that? So I've been praying about what to do with our Sunday school classes, and we're here a little bit of an impasse, done with Missions Conference. And so for next two Sundays, so I was going to do it one Sunday. Next two Sundays, we're going to be out here. And after that, we're going to give you some announcements. We're going to start some other classes once again. But for two more Sundays, I'm going to be out here teaching. And a couple things God laid upon my heart that I'd like to share with you. Sometimes when you, as a preacher, you need to get preached at. And that's what I enjoy about Missions Conference and revivals, because I get to go and have preaching. But each day in my life, I do my best. Sometimes I fail, but I do my best to listen to a sermon or to read a sermon, even on other days besides Sunday and Wednesday. I know he's like, you listen to preaching on Monday? Well, I need it every day, but especially when a preacher, I know when you study, you get all those different things. But the Lord, I was reading a sermon that I enjoyed, and the Lord laid upon my heart about a couple things to share with you this morning. And here in Revelation chapter number 2, it's talking about the seven churches. Now, we're not going to really spend a lot of time on the different churches and how they compare to the church age, all the different ages and things like that. But we're just going to, there's a thought here. And there's a thought here I want to talk about when God gives us space. When God gives us space. So what do you mean? Are you thankful that God is patient? I mean, I don't know about you. That's one of the things that, you know, during my prayer times, there's a praise time, and I rotate things around. I even have a list of the attributes of God, and I go through so I can consider all the different attributes. But one of my favorite ones is the patience or the long-suffering of God. And here in Revelation chapter number 2, he actually uses the word and says, I gave her some space. And it's the idea that there's something going on in this church. And once again, it represents a specific church. And there's something going on. There's a lady doing something wrong there. And God gave her some space so she could repent, because he was being patient. And here I'd like to look for a little while about this idea when God gives us some space. But before we jump in here, there's a couple of verses I want to remind you of. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 11, it says, because sentence against evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. I think about that verse and I think, you know, because the sentence, the judgment, sometimes doesn't come super fast. Because of that, people feel like it's okay to sin. That's not right. That's not true. Just because God is sometimes being patient with us so that way we have a chance to get right and repent. Remember, he is long-suffering. Often I used to think, well, if God would just punish me as soon as I did something wrong, maybe I wouldn't do something wrong so often. Well, I've learned that, yeah, I probably would, and I'd probably die really fast. And, you know, if you know, every time you stole something, you lost a finger, you know, we probably wouldn't have hands or fingers. And, you know, every time we did something wrong, told a lie, took a year off our life, he'd probably be dying tomorrow. You know, those type of things there, I know this is kind of silly to think about, but because God is patient and kind, does that give us a right to sin? The answer is no. Romans chapter 6, it talks about, should we continue in sin because grace abound? God forbid. We should not do that. That's not, in any way, shape, or form, the message is being presented here. That is no way, shape, or form saying, hey, you got liberty from the Lord, go ahead and use it as a liberty and a license to sin. That's not what's being said here. Nowhere in the Bible does it condone, permit, tolerate wickedness. But what's being said here, I believe, as we're going to see here in a second, in this church of Thyatira, there was something that was going on, and it was happening. And he's speaking to the angel of the church, pastor of the church, and he's saying to them, hey, there's something going on here. We need to get right. Another couple of verses. Most of us would know this one. Be sure your sin will find you out. So the message is, if God is giving us a little space, he's not giving us a little bit more space to get to sin more. He's giving us space so we can repent and get right. Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'm just saying, I don't want to be one to take advantage of the graciousness of God, the patience of God, the long-suffering of God. Just because you know somebody's being patient with you, someone's being kind with you, I don't want to continue on pushing the limits. And there are people that do that. There are a lot of people. Sometimes kids will just see how far they can go with things. Not only at your house, but here even as a youth pastor. Sometimes they would try something and they do something and keep on pushing, waiting for the day and time to say, okay, how much do I got to do wrong before the hammer's going to get dropped? I don't know about you, but I'm not a person that really enjoys dropping the hammer. In a sense, I like showing the patience and the kindness and generosity that the Lord demonstrates, but there also is times for correction. There's also times when things need to be said. And if you do not do the responsibilities that you have, sometimes those things get out of control. And when those things get out of control, it's not just giving patience or space. What it's doing is giving a person to love their sin more and more and more, to when they get corrected, they don't get right, but instead they rebel. Let's see here, and let's look what it says in Revelation chapter number 2. Look what it says in verse 18. Once again, there were seven letters that were written to the, says the angel of the church, where I believe, and maybe someday we'll go through these seven churches, but and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write. Now look at the good things. These things say the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. He says, I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. You sit there and you read through those things, and you use the word charity there. We see there in Ephesians chapter number 2, we think about the first love that was missing. That's not saying what's being missed here. It's saying there's something else. He mentions all these things. If we went into this church, it would be considered a good church. It had some great things going on, some things that were being commended. It says in verse number 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. Now, once again, if we ever go through the churches, we can go a little bit more of the explanation, who the Jezebel is, what the Jezebel was a representation of they're just calling a woman Jezebel because of Ahab's wife, or whether or not this was the pastor's wife, or whether or not this was a lady inside the church. We're not going to dive into all that. But with this person, Jezebel is known for bringing idolatry and fornication to the nation of Israel in greater ways than no one else has. And so inside this church, and I believe it's more just a name that goes along with Ahab and Jezebel, he says, inside this church, he says, you suffers that woman Jezebel. So he's saying, inside this church, you're allowing this woman, which calleth herself a prophetess, and to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, if you go and you study Thyatira out a little bit, it's the one that made the purple. It's the one that created the purple dye, the purple garments, things like that. Many of us think about Lydia that was back in the book of Acts, and it's not that far away in that area. And you sit there and you're saying, back then what they would have is in certain companies, they would worship false gods. And when it was time to eat lunch or time to eat certain things, they would pay a homage or a praise a false god, and then they would eat the meat that was burned to the idols, and they would also have sexual fornication there amongst, and they're celebrating their wickedness. Well, this lady here seems like she is honoring this, and she is saying it's okay for a Christian to do. And that's just not true. And God is saying there you're allowing sin to be in this church, and there's a problem. He says, I see all the things you're doing. I see all your patience. I see all your kindness. I see all the love. I see your faith. I see this, this, and this. But you're allowing a sin to happen. And he says, that's something I have against you. Now, look at the next phrase. Verse 21. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. So what the scripture is saying is, hey, look, I gave her some space. And she chose not to get right. Now, look, there is still punishment coming. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into a great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. He's not saying, I'm giving her space so she can continue on sinning and sinning and sinning. Never. The time of punishment was going to come. The time of judgment was going to come, as it says in verse 22. And it says in verse 23, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am, which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. And so there he's saying, look, something's going to happen. It's a shame you let this happen, but now I'm going to step in. And when I step in, everyone's going to see, everyone's going to know that I, the Lord, am the one that tries and reigns over the heart, reigneth the heart. So a couple things I want you to think about. God's patience, first off, so God's love, long-suffering. So I try inside a smaller class to be a little interactive, so I'm going to try to be a little interactive here to see if we get some responses. Anybody got ideas of God showing patience to a person or a group of people in the Bible? I know you could pretty much mention any Bible character. Anybody have something like to share? Saul? Which one? King Saul? He was... He did give Saul chances. Anybody else? David? When did he give David patience? So he was patient with David, especially when Bathsheba, the thing sin happened with Bathsheba. It looked like it took a whole year that God gave him a chance to get right. But during that year, he was still being king. During that year, he was still doing the sacrifices. Mr. Don? Hebrew children in the desert. So I think about the flood. You think about Noah. Got up there and preached for how long? Anybody remember? 120 years, something like that, right? Can you imagine that? They got up there. That's patience, isn't it? I mean, it took that long to build a boat. Well, maybe it took that long to build the boat, but, you know, God could have made the boat just come out of the ground if he wanted to. He was trying to be patient. I like the story. I don't know if I like it, but I see the story of Nebuchadnezzar being really one that he's showing patience. You think about it. You go back, and they hear about Daniel in chapter number 1. Chapter number 2, Daniel interprets a dream for Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar says, hey, look, he's the one true God. We should all worship him. Chapter number 3, what happens again? Nebuchadnezzar's there. The three Hebrew children, they fall down on their face. He falls down on his face saying that they're children. Chapter number 4, Daniel once again interprets a dream and says, Nebuchadnezzar, you need to get right. If you don't get right, something bad's going to happen. And then after a whole year, I mean, how many more times does this guy need to get it right? God gives him the heart of a beast, and for 7 years. I don't know about you, but there's the patience that God has and long-suffering. And we say that about Nebuchadnezzar, but I could put myself in that story and say, man, I see God being patient and kind with me. And if the punishment or sentence of an evil work was executed speedily, maybe I would get fixed, but probably I wouldn't. It's not until I get right with him I'm going to understand that he's being patient with me. I should not be one that's going to just continue on living in sin. I need to get right. I need to do what's right. I think about the story of Samson. He judged for 20 years, but much of that time he lived in disobedience to God's commands. Think about Nineveh. You think about what Jonah came in, and what did he say? 40 days. And he didn't even tell him to repent because he didn't want him to. In 40 days, judgment was coming. And what did they do? They repented. They took it seriously. So I want you to think about the examples in the Bible. This is not something new. This is not saying, look, God's putting up with sin. That's not the case at all. She's doing something wrong in this church, and he is saying to the church, you're doing wrong for allowing her to do this. Yes, she's sinning, but there's sin inside the church. I'm going to step in. I'm going to fix this, because be sure your sin will find you out. But when you see that happen, allow it to be something that convicts you. Allow it. Look what it says there. It says in verse 23, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth and reigns in hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Sometimes we've seen people that get punished, and we're not looking to judge them and say, well, they got what they deserve. Sometimes it's what we feel like, but someone who's living in sin over and over, and something happens to them. But how often do we not learn from that? How often do we see someone being punished for sin or getting correction, and we still don't learn from ourselves, saying, you know what, God's been patient with me. I need to get to the altar, and I need to make sure I'm right with the Lord. I need to make sure I'm agreeing with God. I need to make sure that I am doing what's right. And he says here, he says, she did not repent. And so here's some different examples. I also think about the examples of the talents that were found in the Bible when the Lord gives a certain amount of talents to certain people and how he gave them a year and he came back and he found that one of them didn't do anything with their talent. There was a year there, but there was still some owning up to it. So first thing is, think about some examples. Second thing is, why is God patient with us? Why is God patient with us? Well, first, I think, comes up that God is just. And now some people might say, God's not fair. There's a difference between justice and fairness. And, justice is talking about doing what is right, demands that everyone receives everything that is right. Fairness demands that everybody be treated equally. So God is a just God. God is going to punish sin. And not only is God just, he's merciful. What does he say? He's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Then you think about God is also does not thrive or love to punish. I think when I look at this, he's saying, I'm going to punish, but why is God being merciful and just? It's because he's someone who he does not love to punish, but he is someone who will be just and do what is right. But why would God be patient? Wouldn't it have been better for God to throw that woman out a long time ago? Wouldn't it have been better if God got our hearts right and laid our sin open to everybody else like he sees us? Well, if God did that to all of us, then who would be the preachers? I mean, who would be the persons that do anything for the Lord? Because we all have things that we're working on. We all have things that the Lord has grown us from. We all have things that hopefully we're having victory in our Christian lives. That's the desire that's there. But what's the purpose? And I see the purpose is God is giving space, and he even says this. He says in verse number 21, and I gave her space to what? Repent. He says, I wanted her to begin to agree with me. I wanted her to see what she was doing was wrong. I want her to stop with the wicked ways and learn to agree with me. And that's what confession, true confession is when we learn to agree with God. It is something that is a change of mind that will lead to a change of actions and to see things as God sees and to call them what God calls them, to think as God thinks about a certain thing. He says, this is the reason why there was some space that was given to her. And you know what? She repented not. Not only does God give us a chance to repent, God gives us a space to return. There is one thing to agree with God, and there is something else that means that, hey, I'm going to take steps to make sure I never go back. The Bible talks about he that confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy. How many times in our lives have we looked at our lives and said, I need to fix this. I need to get this right. I need change. Only to say, do the same thing tomorrow. I mean, that's what happens. So confession is great. Forsaking is when you're going to find the mercy when it comes to your spiritual walk. This morning in our morning service, we're going to look a little bit, and I'm hoping it's going to turn out right. Sometimes when you do a sermon and you're studying and praying, and I looked at it this week more than I've looked at most sermons, I'm trying to figure out exactly how God wants to present it. But it's there, and it's like, okay, how do I get to the point that I not only understand my need, but now I make that need right? How do I get to the point of having a desire to do what's right and making it happen, or letting God make it happen in my life? How do I get seeing where I'm struggling and wish that I would change and see, and I'm even crying out to God, but then there's steps that gets it to the point where God does a finished work in me? Because there are a lot of people that cry out in the Bible. There's a lot of people that come out and say, Lord, we want you, we need you. There are multitudes that would follow him over and over, but when things got tough and hard, they all ran away. They departed when they didn't understand exactly what was being said. How does it become from a need and a desire to a victorious Christian living? Because I tell you, that's what our kids need to see. That's what our young people need to see. Not just, yeah, I want to do better, I want to do right. They need to see victorious Christian living in their life, and God is giving them a chance to return. And God wants them to come back. It's sort of like the story of the prodigal son. He's there wallowing around the pig pit, and he comes to himself. He makes that decision, hey, there's plenty of stuff over there. I'm going to go say this to my dad. But then he gets up, and he goes. He doesn't go back to the pig pit. Oftentimes, what are we doing? We're just sitting in a pig pit and say, man, I'm in a problem, I'm in a mess. So this is why God's being patient with us. I really believe this is why he uses these words, and we could have went through tons of Bible examples. He was patient with Moses. He was patient with Abraham. He didn't just knock Sarah off when Sarah started laughing. I mean, you could just go Adam and Eve. I mean, couldn't he just create two more people and just, hey, let's try this again until they get it right? He could see it over and over and over in the scriptures and in our own lives. Pastor, why do you bring this up? Because he's been patient with us. Let's not take it for granted, because the day's going to come, judgment's going to come. And we should do what's right because we're supposed to do what's right. We should do what's right because we want to love the Lord. We should do what's right because we want to serve him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. But there's so many that don't do that, and they, because the executions or sentence doesn't happen speedily, hey, I got away with it this time. Maybe I get away with it this time. And we continue on until judgment happens. We're missing why God gives us patience. He wants us to repent. He wants us to return. So not only do you see the example, but the reason why God is patient with us and God's purpose, but what's our problem? What's our problem? First thing I think about is that we're ignorant sometimes. So what do you mean ignorant? Sometimes we don't have the knowledge that we need. It's right here. It's found in the Bible. Is there, but we're ignorant of things. You know, I'm reading through the book of Matthew right now, my personal devotions. Got one more chapter. Actually, I finished it this morning, and I had one more chapter left in the schedule, and it was so short, and it was the resurrection. It was hard to skip over, so I guess read it anyway. And it talked about you do err not knowing the scriptures. You don't have power because you don't know the scriptures. And I was reading through this, and we're ignorant of the scriptures. We're ignorant of the power of God. We're ignorant of the fact that we need him. These Bible characters are going to talk about for a few minutes in the morning churches, people that knew they needed to God, they cried out to God, they ran to God, they asked God for mercy, they sought after God, they had a knowledge that they knew they needed the Lord. And nothing else. They knew they needed God's help because no one could do what only God can do. But we ourselves are ignorant of that because we feel like we can do things ourselves. We feel like we can get away with sins and God will judge in others. We feel like we're different. Sometimes we think that we're so important to God, God just won't judge us for little sins. I read a sermon illustration one time. Dr. Bill Rice, who has been in heaven for a lot of years, said there was a man he looked up to, was a great hero of his. He had a large church and he was a very powerful leader in the day. But this man lied to Dr. Bill Rice, and Bill Rice found out about it. He went to his older brother, Dr. John Rice, and Dr. John R. Rice said, hey, you're going to have to confront him with this sin. So Dr. Bill Rice went and asked what was going on, and instead of the man being embarrassed or admitting it, he said this, Bill, I have done so much for the Lord over the years. He just gives me a little leeway in these areas like this. He says, just because I've done so much for God, a little lie ain't going to hurt anything. That's unscriptural. That is wrong. It is completely ungodly. And it's a wrong attitude to have. But how many times do we do that? God's going to be okay if I do this over here, because look at all the other things I'm doing. If God is giving you any type of grace or any type of mercy, if he's being patient or long-suffering with you, we should praise him for that, but we should get right also. We shouldn't just keep on doing it and doing it and doing it, saying, I wonder when and if God's going to speak to us. Let's not be ignorant of the fact that we need God. Also, let's not ignore when God speaks to our conscience. I don't know about you, but there are times that we ignore when God's saying no. I don't know, maybe it's been a long time since you heard from the Lord, but when I hear this, if I'm going to do some type of certain sin, usually Holy Spirit's, hey, don't do that. The Lord's watching. Don't do this, don't do that. It's not worth it. All those different things. And he speaks to my heart. And the reason why is because I can ignore that and say, no, I'd rather have more of my flesh than what God has to offer right now. But like we heard last week, we need to learn how to say no to the flesh and yes to the Lord. We ignore the promptings. Sometimes God uses our families. Sometimes God uses preachers. Sometimes God uses friends. And many times they will go and try to encourage you about something that is going on with your life, and we just ignore it. We ignore the circumstance, we ignore, and it builds up, and it builds up, and it builds up till it explodes. And we see that happen a couple times in the Bible. And we see that how we just ignore the sin. We don't think it's ever going to get that bad. It's never going to get so bad that it's going to take you so far, and we keep on going. And I think of many people I've gone to over the years and said, hey, I'm worried about you. I'm concerned about you. You're not being faithful at church, or see the attitude that you have, or how you're treating others, or what's going on in your homes, or praying for people. And it's just like they ignore it, ignore. And we all see that they're headed toward a path that's not going to be God-honoring, not going to be God-pleasing. And then when something happens, it's like, oh, well. I was talking to someone this past week, same type of situation. I had given some what I believe was godly counsel, gave them biblical things, and things that didn't turn out the way that they expected. And I felt bad at the same, and I really did. When I got off the phone, I prayed for them. And it breaks your heart. It's because they ignore the God's leading and God's, don't ignore it. If God is working through, and sometimes repentance, when you do things before the Lord, if it's done out in the public, sometimes you got to say you're sorry, and sometimes it's going to be embarrassing. Sometimes it's not always going to be easy, but it's worth it. Don't ignore God trying to work. And maybe God's trying to work in your heart right now. He's pointing finger on your something in your heart saying, hey, this is something I've been talking to you for a long time. This is something I've wanted you to get right. I've given you a little bit of space here, hope, praying, and now he's God. He's that you would repent and you choose to continue on. You choose to be ignorant about what the Bible says. You choose to ignore what is going on. And someday, judgment. Be sure your sin will find you out. Because we keep on getting away with it, getting away with it, and getting away with it, we feel like no one knows. Be sure your sin will be find you out. Remember, God is not mocked. Whatsoever thou sowest, that shall thou also reap. Think about some principles here. Liberty is not a license to sin. Liberty is not a license to sin. Even though the master had left the talents of the servants for a long time, he did come back to see what they had produced. Even though it had been a while, the liberty was given to them. Here's your talent. Here's the talents. Use them for my honor and glory. I'm going to see what you've done for in a little while back. I'm going to take back. There was still some reckoning that had to be done. I want you to think about, just because he gives us liberty to make choices about whether we're going, what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, the Bible says, do not use that liberty as an occasion of flesh. In Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. How many times do we say, we've heard, I got Christian liberty. I can do this. If the Bible says it, no, you shouldn't do it. Does it mean you're going to lose your salvation? No. Is it going to help you in your walk with God? No, it's not. And that's what he says. Don't do those things that you think you have liberty to do. If they're against the scripture, you don't have liberty to do those things. He says, do not use that liberty to give you an occasion to the flesh. Just because God's giving you time does not mean he will tolerate your sin. Just because God's giving you time does not mean he will tolerate your sin. I go back to the ark, that 120 years. Did any of those guys get right? No. If anything, they probably became more indifferent. If anything, they saw the ark and they probably mocked the ark. If anything, they probably did all those different things. Just because God's giving you a little bit of time doesn't mean that he thinks your sin's okay. Still at the end of the 120 years, what happened? The flood came. It happened. It's going to happen. So just because you think that I'm not living for God today, I'm not doing what I should today, but I don't see any big judgment happen. I don't see my family falling apart right this second. I don't see my marriage breaking up. I don't see bankruptcy coming. I don't see all these different things. I'm going to be okay. Just because he's giving you some time doesn't mean that he's going to tolerate what we're doing. In his word, he's told us that we're going to be held accountable for our sins. Last but not least, patience is not permissiveness. Patience is not permissiveness. I think sometimes people feel like they're mistaking God's patience with being indifferent about things. God just must not care that I don't tithe. God must just not care that I don't read my Bible. God must just not care that I don't do this. It doesn't say that in the scriptures. If anything, it tells us the other things, that there are certain things that he holds in a very high accountable way. And just because he is being patient with us does not mean that we should believe that God's okay with it. I believe he's trying to give us space to repent and to return to him. I believe that if God wants to be able to restore, and God wants to bless you, and God wants to use you. Remember what it says in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And I know I read through this and I see this lady, and this lady is called Jezebel. She's probably not a very nice lady. I know most of us wouldn't name our kids Jezebel. And she's doing wrong. And she is disrupting the church. She is causing others to go the wrong way with her sin. You say, hey, Pastor, none of my sin does that. You think about Judas. You watch, remember when they took Judas and that when Mary and Bethany opened up that whole container? Remember what you remember who complained? It was Judas, right? But you know what else it also says? The rest of the disciples. It means that one who was dealing with a secret sin said something that made sense to these other guys that were followers. They had just spent 3 years with Jesus. They would know that Judas was the sinner, right? But because he was dealing with a secret sin, dealing with these issues and these problems, never truly, I believe, putting his faith and trust in God and, you know, all those different things, that one person can persuade a whole big bunch of others. We need to be careful with our sin. Yes, I don't think any of us are going to try to cause people to eat meat that was burned before idols. But what would that be today? What would we, who people look to us as someone who's in a church, doing faithfully here, faithfully serving, maybe Sunday school teacher. Of course, I know only a few of us out here are Sunday school teachers, but junior church workers, deacons, deacons' wives, servants of the Lord, ministers. What are we trying to convince them? Hey, it's a job. If they feed you that, you got to feed that. If you have to do that immorality, and that's what then it's okay to do that immorality because your job depends upon it. And that's what that lady Jezebel was trying to teach him, the different sections, the guilds, the unions that would work inside of that. And she obviously calls herself a prophetess. Obviously, she's allowed to teach in the church. It seems like there's some problems there. And she is allowed to do that. And she influences a group of people who is described as someone who has charity, who has faith, who has this, and who does works and does patience and all those other things. It's because they allowed this to happen. They've caused all these others to question too. Just like Judas that day. He said, why wasn't that sold to the poor and given this much? The other 11 probably would never even thought that until the one started talking. He was patient with Judas. He even said, you know, called him friend, was willing that Judas would get right even, I believe, as he was selling Christ to be crucified. Of course, he didn't know that. So, where do we learn from this? I don't know about you. One of the things I'm thankful for the most is how patient God is with me. One of the things I take most advantage of is the patience of God too. Shouldn't be that way. I don't want my life to fall apart. I don't want my life to crumble. I don't want all these different things to happen. That's what happens in this to this lady. She probably didn't think she was doing anything wrong. But she was. She had convinced herself, oh, it's okay for me to tell them this. This makes it logically correct. How else are they going to? And she called herself something godly. She presented herself as something that was godly. She presented herself as a prophetess, someone who could teach inside of church. She presented herself this way, but it was completely ungodly. And God said, she's going to be punished for it. There was some space that was given there for her to repent, and she chose not to. Church, just because the sentence doesn't happen speedily doesn't mean it's never going to happen. So, Pastor, I know somebody who's gotten away with their sin for so many years and God's never punished them. Maybe they don't know God, or maybe God is being patient with them and they don't really know exactly what punishment is coming, because there's different types of punishment. I'm just saying, we're thankful for the patience and long-suffering of God. We preach about it, how he's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. We're thankful for that. We say amen for those things. But do we take advantage of that patience? Do we take advantage of that kindness? We shouldn't. We should want to be right, and we should be willing to do anything we can, because we see how we can affect others inside our church. I look across this room, I see people that would not want to hurt people in our church. At least most people. I know most people love the church. They love the church family. They wouldn't want to do something that's going to influence someone wrong. But that's what we do when we're not right. And we still present ourselves as someone that they can trust and they can follow and they can guide. And once again, I think today is going to be about preaching to me, and the rest of you guys get to hear, because it's the same thought in my own life, is that I don't want to lead someone wrong. I don't want to be ignorant, and I do not want to ignore. I want to live for the Lord. And I want to encourage you today, when God gives us space, what are we going to do? Don't take advantage of it. Get right with him. Don't keep on pushing it off, saying, I didn't tithe this week, and my car didn't blow up, so it might be okay. I didn't give out that gospel tract when God told me to, and that person didn't die right there and go to hell, it might be okay. I didn't do what I was supposed to, and nothing traumatic happened. Don't be ignorant. You need God. You need God in your life. You got people that you love in your life. Don't keep on pushing your sin and being ignorant of it. Don't ignore God's promptings. He's being patient with you. Get right with him so you can be a blessing to those that you love. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that this thought was a little bit unique for me. And Lord, as I was processing it through and praying, I want to be delivered in a way that you will get honor and glory, but also in a way that will convict the hearts of the people that may need it. This woman was really harming this church, and there were a lot of good things happening in this church. They were allowing it to happen, the Bible even says. And that's, God didn't like that. God even gave a chance and opportunity for this woman to get right, and she did not. She was going to be punished. And the world, the rest of the church, was going to know that God was not pleased with it. Lord, I pray in our lives that you speak to our hearts about things that maybe we've been pushing aside. Just assuming, hey, it's not really that big of a deal if I do this or that, because we have not seen any type of sentence or judgment. Lord, help us to look into your word, see what it says, live accordingly, so we can be a blessing to those that we love inside our church family and inside our physical families, so we can make a difference throughout this world. Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, I pray you speak to others. In Jesus' name, amen.